So this is the first Sunday of Lent, and it is the beginning of a worship series that will be titled Everything Must Change. And today we are going to think about some of the ways that progress must change and how we move forward. But at a minimum, Lent is time set apart. Lent is time set apart from the busyness of our lives, the busyness of our schedules, to think about what exactly it means to be human. Sometimes it's time set apart to think about exactly how lonely it can be to be human. And sometimes it's time set apart to think about how intimate and connected it can be to be part of a community. It's also time to think about the ways that God interacts with us and comes and meets us even in this moment. So I invite you for all of these Everything Must Change sermons and each of the worship moments during Lent to think about the human life with Jesus tempted in the wilderness from the Gospel of Matthew. So listen now for the word of God from Genesis, chapter 2, verses 4 to 17. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. And then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall die." And from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world to him. And then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So Lent is a time set apart. And I feel pretty strongly that Lent is a time set apart to be vulnerable, to be very honest about what it means to be alive, to be very honest about the struggles that come with being alive and the community that comes with being alive. And so part of that means that we need to take a lot of our masks off as we come into a space as large as this. And that we need to know that in this Lenten time, we are called to be open in front of one another, and I am called to be open in front of you all. So if I tend to wonder and think and sort of trail off, that is me trying to be as open and vulnerable with what God wants to do here today as I can be. This past Wednesday was the first Wednesday that I ever got to be a part of an Ash Wednesday service. I'd only attended two prior Ash Wednesday services, and I cried through both of them. I don't think I was ready to really confront community was to confront the aspects of being human. And so I was distraught, and I remember leaving both of them sort of horrified with the ashes that were on my head, and also horrified with how I was feeling, because I also wanted to be a pastor at this time. So I was like, how am I ever going to be able to do an Ash Wednesday service honestly and openly without worrying about what it meant for me? So I was pretty concerned that I would just start crying in the middle of our Ash Wednesday service on either at noon or at 6:30. And thankfully, that's not what happened, because I couldn't stop smiling as each of you all walked towards me, and I was met with such an amazing, hopeful, shining face. And that really took me by surprise, and I couldn't stop smiling, and I was convicted by what David said in our communion liturgy, that we are dust, but we are most certainly baptized dust. And the baptized dust makes incredible fertilizer for the word of God and for the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. And every time one of you came forward, I could just see all of the potential for the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. I think that has a lot to say for what IPC can do during Lent, what time spent with your Lent in a box can be, what the time praying for that prayer card, whoever that person is or that program is. Because we are each baptized dust, and that fertilizer is ready to be integrated into a church community, to have a program, to have hope. I really haven't been able to forget that since hearing, being a part of that service and hearing what he said. And afterwards, I went to Walmart, and I was on the self-checkout line, and the little thing above me said that I was being recorded, and I could see the smudge on my forehead, and the fears came back so quickly, and I tried to rub it off pretty fast, realizing that I was dirty and unkept and unclean in some way before that baptized dust thought could return. There's nothing different about having dust on our foreheads. It is a reminder that we are always dust, and that we are always baptized dust. And that feeling, I think, of having something on your face and having the choice of whether to take it off or leave it on, to confront it in all of its honesty, is a really positive one. And so I started looking out for moments like that. And I found one in this book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. I don't know if any of you have ever read it. It's wonderful. It has beautiful illustrations, and it has little thoughts that usually have to do with community, companionship, friendship. And it began just as one illustration by Charlie Mackesy, I'm not quite sure. And it grew as people latched on to the image, and it grew in therapy groups, it grew in support groups, it grew in the British military, it grew in church groups, as ways to get a way to bring a group to the point where they were taking their masks off and hearing one another. So I'm going to read just 20 pages of this. It's very quick. But I hope it is a moment much like having ashes put on your forehead where you can breathe in what is the baptized dust and acknowledge that now is a time to be open and vulnerable with yourself. So the first one is a boy sitting by a mole, and all it says is hello. And the boy lifts the mole up and he says, "I'm so small," said the mole. "Yes," said the boy, "but you make a huge difference." And now they're sitting in a tree. "What do you want to be when you grow up?" said the boy. "Kind," said the mole. "What do you think success is?" said the boy. "To love," said the mole. And for comedic relief, the mole approaches a piece of cake and says, "Well, hello." "Do you have a favorite saying?" said the boy. "Yeah," said the mole. "What is it?" "If at first you don't succeed, have some cake." "I see. Well, does it work?" "Every time," said the mole. And now the mole eats a piece of cake and says, "Oh, just a tiny taste." And he goes to the boy and he says, "I got you a delicious cake," said the mole. "Did you?" "Yeah." "Well, where is it?" "Oh, I ate it," said the mole. "But I got you another." "Did you? Where's that one?" Well, the same thing seems to have happened. And again, they're in the tree. "What do you think is the biggest waste of time?" "Comparing yourself to others," said the mole. And again, "I wonder if there is a school of unlearning." Again, they're in their tree. "Most of the old moles I know wish they had listened less to their fears and more to their dreams." And they're looking out. The boy and the mole go on to meet a fox and a horse, and they have some really good adventures. So I really encourage you to get a hold of this book. We are baptized dust. And we get to be fertilizer in a lot of different places. And sometimes those places are paradise, and the living waters burst forth from cracks in the ground, and there is green that grows above us and beside us and around us. And the presence of God is so intimate and so close. And everything about these moments is shaped by God. And there we are called to be fertilizer and help grow. And we're also called to be fertilizer in the wilderness, where we are the only living water that comes out of the crack in the ground, and that we are the only shade that can be offered. And there we are called to be witness to some of the greatest, most unfathomable acts of resistance that the world has ever known. Be they small moments of centering, or they great, great, great moments of Jesus in front of a tempter with everything at his feet, still remaining faithful to God and trusting that God's grace will provide. And there are most times that are nearly as extraordinary, and we are called to be fertilizer exactly where we are, exactly in these seats and in this church, exactly with the people around us, recognizing that we are baptized dust with the most amazing potential. So this Lent, I hope that we can all return to this space, knowing that there are people here who want to take one or two masks off of their face and see each other honestly. And I hope that we return here knowing that as we take those masks off, we will find the most amazing potential for the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in each and every one of us. I look forward to a Lent with you in all of its wonder and awe and whatever direction it's going to lead us in. In God's name, amen.